We'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes. And last week we had our services up at the Welch Ski Village, which was near Cannon Falls, Minnesota, where one of my sons was getting married. And so that was our worship service, the wedding, and you won't be receiving a tape of that, so there'll be a kind of a one-week gap. But right now we're gathered together here at La Crosse in God's country, and we're going over to Beaver Dam by means of the speaker phone. And we've had a real nice week here in Wisconsin. One of my favorite things is always a thunderstorm, and we have had a ton of them the last week. And in fact, before the wedding, there was thunderstorms in the morning, and then it cleared off for the afternoon, and then that night, a bunch of thunderstorms moved through the area down, coming down the Mississippi River. And it was so beautiful that my wife and I opened the blinds and just sat and watched the fireworks out there, the lightning, for a couple hours till about 1:30 in the morning. And this last week here in La Crosse, the area, there's been a lot of thunderstorms to it. It's just one of these beautiful, beautiful things that God has given us in creation. And I always appreciate it. We'd like you to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to be looking at another aspect here of the trial of Jesus Christ as we're moving now toward the conclusion of everything and the greatest victory that has ever been won. And the trial this morning takes place in the Roman courts. Now you remember there's already been one trial, and that trial has taken place in the Jewish Sanhedrin. And they condemned Jesus there, but they did have a problem, and that is that they wanted to kill Christ, and they couldn't because the Romans had taken that power away from them. The Jews could not enact the death sentence anymore. So in order to get what they really wanted, now they had to go to the Roman court. And so the narrative picks up here in Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 11. And we find Jesus standing before Pilate. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled. Pilate was surprised at Jesus standing there and not replying to any of the accusation. And the enemy was throwing everything except the kitchen sink at him, and he was standing there and not even saying a word. And Pilate was very surprised at that. Usually people try to defend themselves. Jesus knew that he didn't have to defend himself. And besides that, remember, Jesus wanted to die, didn't he? He wanted to die because he loved you. So he wanted to die for your sins. So that's why he doesn't defend himself at all. And Pilate is surprised at that, but you and I are surprised at something else. We're surprised at the charge that they level against Jesus as he stands before Pontius Pilate. And the charge is this: "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Now, there hadn't been any mention of this in the previous trial in the Jewish Sanhedrin. Do you remember what the accusation was there? It's back in chapter 26, verse 63. The high priest answered and said, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." This is why Jesus was condemned in the Jewish court. He was condemned because he said, "I am the Son of God." Now, they didn't believe that. And so they said, "Well, this man has committed blasphemy. He's guilty of death because he claims to be the Son of God and he really isn't." That's what they thought. They didn't believe he was the Son of God, but he is. Anyway, that's why they condemned him. Now, if they would come to Pontius Pilate and say, "Well, Jesus says he's the Son of God," Pilate would throw the whole case out of court. He didn't care what Jesus says about being the Son of God, whether he is or whether he isn't. What Pilate's concerned about is something else. Has he broken any law? So when they get to Pilate, now they twist things. They say, well, he says he's a king. He makes the remark, he makes the claim that he's a king. And if he's a king, then he's setting himself up in opposition to Caesar, who just happens to be Pontius Pilate's boss. This is not the first time that people have been bothered by the fact that Jesus was a king. And you know, we learn something here. Very, very often, Christians are misjudged in this world. The people of the world don't really understand what it's all about. Now, do you remember the first time that Jesus was called a king? You have to go way, way back to Matthew chapter 2. Way back to Matthew chapter 2. And you might want to page back there. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. So right away, when Jesus was a little baby, people that knew him knew that he was a king. And the wise men figured this out, and they came and went to Herod, who was the king at that time, and said, where's the one that's born king of the Jews? And Herod immediately was afraid. He was troubled. When Herod heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was a very, very jealous man. And in fact, when you read some of the history in that day, you find out that Herod actually put some of his own children to death. He killed his own children because he was afraid that they were going to take his throne away from him. There was a saying going around in those days, it's safer to be Herod's pig than it is to be his son. That's the kind of person Herod was. And when he heard about a king being born, all of a sudden, he's afraid of this. And he's going to try and kill Jesus Christ. Same way as Pilate's going to be doing. So and then Herod calls the wise men privately and inquires of them what time the star appeared. And in verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He sounds so good. Then he's saying, I want to worship the little baby too. So when you found him, let me know where he is so I can come and worship. You know what he was going to worship with? A sword. Wanted to kill him. The wise men didn't know that, but an angel warned them. In verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. An angel came, or God came in a dream and said, hey, don't go back and tell Herod about Jesus. You go back another way. So they did that. They obeyed God and then did that. So Herod is still sitting there waiting for him to come back. Now he's really upset. And then the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, in verse 13, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there till I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And God knew what Herod was going to do. And so then Joseph took Mary and Jesus and fled down into Egypt. And then Herod came to Bethlehem with swords flashing, and killed all the little boys who were 2 years old and under in the whole region. But Jesus escaped because God had warned Joseph in a dream. Now we find Jesus standing before another judge, another Roman judge, Pontius Pilate, and they're accusing him of the same thing. He says he's a king. Well, that's true, but he wasn't the kind of king that wanted to be a king in the Roman government. In fact, Christians really are the best citizens in the whole country. There was an incident one time in Matthew chapter 22 that kind of shed some light on this. I'd like you to look at that real quickly. It starts at verse 15, where Jesus' enemies were trying to get him in trouble. Again, they were always trying to do that. And one day they came to him while he was teaching the people, and they put a question to him. In verse 15 of Matthew 22, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. They wanted to trick him with his words. And they sent out to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. They're buttering him up. We know that you don't care whose toes you step on. You always tell the truth. Now we've got a question for you. And the question is this. What do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Should we pay taxes to Caesar or shouldn't we? This question is what's called a dilemma. A dilemma is kind of like, have you ever seen a great big bull that has these great big horns and come out to two points? Well, that's what a dilemma is. There seems to be only two answers that Jesus can give. No matter which one he gives, he's going to get stuck. If he says, yes, we'd better pay taxes to Caesar, then all the people are going to be mad at him because they hated the Roman government. A Roman government had conquered them, and there were Roman garrisons throughout the whole land. The people hated the Romans. So if Jesus said to pay taxes to Caesar, he's going to be in trouble with the people. If he says, no, don't pay taxes to Caesar, then the Roman soldiers are going to come in and take him. So it seems like they caught him. But no matter what he does, he's going to be in trouble. What they didn't realize was that you can't cross swords with the Son of God and expect to come out on top. Jesus had a tricky answer for them, for their trick question. He said, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. I want you to show me a coin. So one of the guys fished in his pocket and came out with a coin and gave it to Jesus. Jesus looked at it. And you know, like our coins have pictures on, don't they? Pictures of presidents of the United States. Lots of the Romans did too. And the Romans had a picture on their coin. And Jesus says, whose image and superscription is this? Who is this guy on here? And they look, well, that's Caesar. And Jesus said, well, then you've answered your own question. You give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and you give to God what belongs to God. And, you know, they marveled at that answer. Amen. That guy's really... he really got out of it. And he's right. It was a good answer. After that, they didn't ask him anything anymore. They found out they couldn't trick him. Well, anyway, this whole thing now is being misrepresented. The people are presenting something to Pilate as if Jesus is a king. He wants to have a kingdom here on this earth. He always said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's of another place. But Pilate is going to be in trouble if he lets this go. Now, in verse 15, they had an oddity here. We're going to cover more of this next week. But looking at, we're in Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 15. At the feast, the governor was wont or accustomed to release unto the people a prisoner, whomever they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. I want you to remember Barabbas, because we're going to look at Barabbas next week, God willing. This is starting here, though. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. We learn a couple things about Pilate here. Number one, Pilate was a very good judge. He immediately realized that Jesus hadn't committed any crime. He realized that the people were envious of him, and that's why they had delivered him. Now, what he should have done is thrown the whole case out of court. Said, this man is innocent. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's going to walk out a free man. Now, you go home. That's what he should have done. But he's afraid. And you're learning. You're going to learn something here. You're either going to fear God or you're going to fear man. One of the two. You can't fear both. If you fear God, you respect Him, then you're not going to be afraid of any human beings. But if you're afraid of what other human beings think and about what they can do to you, then you're not going to fear God. And Pilate is afraid of human beings. That's his big flaw. So he tries to trick his way out of this. They had a custom that at the Passover, he would deliver any prisoner that they wanted. The people could say, we want this guy to walk out, and he would do it. So what he does is he goes down to the bottom of the dungeon and picks the worst guy that he can find. And this is a guy that's called Barabbas. He was put into prison for sedition and murder. So he brings Barabbas out and he stands him next to Jesus and he says, okay, I'm going to give you a choice this year. Who do you want me to release? You want me to release this Barabbas over here, or do you want me to release Jesus? And he thought that they would say, well, you know, we don't like Jesus very much, but this Barabbas, he's really bad. We don't want him running the streets. So give us Jesus. That's what he thought they would say. And we're going to find out they didn't. But well, let's hold that till next week. So he's got this. And now look at verse 19. This is a very mysterious thing. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. This comes at the key time of the trial. Pilate sits down at the judgment seat. Now is the time when he's going to decide what to do with Jesus. He's either going to kill him or let him go. And as soon as he sits down at the judgment seat, just before he talks, a messenger comes running out. It's a messenger that came from his own house, sent by his own wife. And she gives him a warning. She said, you better watch out. You better watch out what you do to this man. Because I've had a dream and I've suffered many things because of him. We wonder, what kind of dream did she have? What kind of a dream did she have? The Bible doesn't tell us. But it was a very mysterious thing. And we learn something here. You know, God is being very tender with Pilate. He's giving Pilate one opportunity after another to do the right thing. Pilate already knows that Jesus is innocent. And now God sends Pilate a warning from his own wife. You know, a lot of times God does that to us. If we're going the wrong way and we're about to fall into sin, a lot of times God will try to reach us with people that are closest to us. Here he does it with Pilate. If you have a husband or a wife who's a strong believer, you'd better listen when they give you some advice. You'd better listen. Because that's how God works. If you have a friend that's a strong believer and they give you advice, you better listen to it. And you better be very careful who you pick for your friends. Because they can give you bad advice too, and then if you listen to it, you're going to be wrong. But a believing person, you better listen. God sometimes does it. And here we see it happening to Pontius Pilate. Now, I don't know if his wife was a believer. Some people believe she may have been. I don't know. Even if she wasn't, though, it's a warning. You better watch out. But now the chief priests counteract this in verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So the chief priests and mullah are going around now to the people and saying, don't take Jesus. Don't take him. We hate him. Take Barabbas. That's what we want you to do. I wonder how they persuaded him. There are different ways that heathen people persuade others. They can do it by money. Maybe they gave him money. We know that that's how they persuaded the soldiers after the resurrection of Jesus. You know, the soldiers that were around the tomb, they saw Jesus Christ rise from the dead and walk out of the tomb. They saw that. And the Roman soldiers didn't want him to tell anybody. Or the hierarchy didn't want the Roman soldiers to tell anybody. So the chief priests, the scribes, and elders gave him a large amount of money and said, we'll pay you this money if you tell a lie. And you tell the people that his disciples came while we slept and stole him away. Now, I don't know if they did that here or not. Maybe they did. Maybe they bribed him with money, or maybe they used fear. Said, if you don't do what we tell you, we're kicking you out of the church. Might have done that. got a lot of ways of getting what they want. Well, the governor, in verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, which of the two will you that I release unto you? Now, which of these two guys you want to go free? And they said, Barabbas. And that surprised Pilate. And Pilate did not want to crucify Christ. But now he's in a real bind. Pilate said unto them, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What do you want me to do with him? And they said, let him be crucified. We want to get rid of him. Put him out of the way. Kill him. Nail him to the cross. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? Tell me what he's done wrong. And they answer, and they said, let him be crucified. You know why they didn't tell Pilate what sin Jesus had committed? You know why they didn't? Because they couldn't find any. That's why. They couldn't find any because Jesus Christ was the Son of God and he was sinless and he had never done anything wrong. They couldn't find one single thing. That's why they didn't answer the question. But they said, we want him to be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, now look at what Pilate does. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. I'm going to ask you a question. I said, remember what Pilate does? Now, he calls for a bowl of water. Pilate's the judge. And he's going to condemn Jesus to death, and he knows Jesus hasn't done anything wrong. So he calls for a bowl of water, and he washes his hands, and he says, I'm innocent of the blood of this man. Now, when Pilate died and went to the judgment seat of God, and God said, you crucified my son. And Pilate said, but I washed my hands first, didn't I? You think God is going to say, oh, that's right, I forgot about that. Well, as long as you washed your hands, that's all right. You think God's going to say that? He's not going to say that. The washing of the hands here doesn't mean anything. They might look good, but it's not going to cut anything when it comes to God. But listen to what the people said. And I want, and when you study Jewish history at home, I want you to remember this. And some of the terrible things that have happened to the Jewish people in the Holocaust over in Germany. And some of the bitter suffering that they've gone through. I want you to remember this. Pilate said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. We'll take responsibility for it. Let his blood fall on us and on our children. And this is the answer to what's happened in Jewish history throughout the years. That's a terrible, terrible thing that they were guilty of. Now, next week, God willing, we're going to take a look at what happened to Barabbas. Now, this is a real surprise for Barabbas. And then we're also going to look upon what the Roman soldiers did to Jesus when he was handed over to them and they made a crown of thorns and put it on his head. There's an awful lot in here. Be sure you read this ahead of time during the week. It's on the back of the bulletin at the very last line. Next week, Matthew chapter 27, verses 26 to 31. Have Dad and Mom read that to you. And then next week we'll come and we'll compare notes. And we'll close this sermon right now with a prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for offering up your Son for the forgiveness of our own sins. And as we see the reaction of Jesus as he goes through the two trials that he had, we see that he was in full control of everything and that he died really because he wanted to die. And it was He who gave up His life willingly and laid it down for our sake. And we thank You for covering us with the precious blood of Jesus so that our sins are forgiven and that we have been taken back into Your family and are Your children. And we pray that we may live lives now that are worthy of being children in Your family. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.